Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I tell you what, I got respect for this guy. This guy came up to me, he told me straight to my face yesterday at the VFW post in the Billings Heights. He said, you know what, I hate you. This is pretty funny. Ever since you got to fly with the Blue Angels at the air show and Bill, man, I just hate you. And then he was joking, of course. But anyway, it's pretty funny. Yeah, I was emceeing a dinner once, and I said, you know, I think I'm the most hated man in Billings, Montana, because I got to fly with the U.S. Navy's Blue Angels. Well, bring on the haters, because this is incredible. I get to go to UFC 300 this Saturday night. Going to be remarkable, but what I want to do, and by the way, thanks to our title sponsor, which is the Fusion Fight League, for making this all happen. They got the Fusion Fights Friday night in Gray Falls, April 27th, if I remember right. They're going to be at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse in Bozeman. I plan on being there for that, and then in Billings, May 11th. But yeah, so thanks to Fusion Fight League for making our coverage happen, because I want to take you there. What I hope to do is get some photos, some video, chat with the Montana boys that are going to be down there. Who knows who we'll run into? I mean, I was just like, man, who's going to be? Have you guys seen who all is going to be showing up at UFC 300? Because, like, the people watching alone, I think, is going to be incredible. I mean, even if you don't know anything and everything or nothing at all about the UFC and mixed martial arts fighting, just the people watching alone is going to be really interesting. I mean, at UFC 299 down in Miami, I mean, President Trump was there. Ivanka was there with him. And there was like two NFL quarterbacks that were getting photos with Trump. I mean, so who all is going to be? Like, I wonder, would Mike Tyson? I was chatting with Mark and Paul down the hall, and I was like, man, I wonder if Mike Tyson will be there to, you know, just to create even more buzz around the Jake Paul fight that they're doing later this summer. I think, aren't they doing that like at the Cowboys Stadium or something like that? So I wonder if Mike Tyson will be in the house. I don't know, John Jackson, I probably better not do my Mike Tyson impersonation. I might lose an ear on that one. Tyson still looks like a freaking beast. Have you guys seen this guy training for the Jake Paul fight? Good night. I mean, the guy's almost 60 and he's still a beast. But then again, that's not too surprising. I mean, heck, I've been at the gym with my dad even. My dad, you know, is still good about working out. And he's now in his 70s And then, I see some guys. There's one guy, his kid played football with my kid at Ben Steele when they were in middle school. And I think still playing. I think he's playing high school football now, too, if I'm not mistaken. But this guy's a freaking beast at the gym. I saw him at the gym, and he's in his 50s. It's like, holy cow. I mean, it's kind of cool to just see people just adopting this lifestyle of like, no, hey. I'm not gonna let age take me down, man. We're gonna stay strong. And anyway, it's just cool to see, so inspirational. But anyway, we got a packed show for you today. Some days I'm like, we'll have nothing on the calendar. It's completely wide open, which is great, because then if people drop in, we can mix them in. If people call in, we can mix them. Today we got a packed lineup. I'll tell you about it more coming up after this. But yeah, we got the best attorney general in the country, Austin Knutson, dropping by later with the new head of the Highway Patrol, and much more to follow. Stand by.
Securing America.
The Air Force is working on creating a fleet of more than 1,000 autonomously operated drones, otherwise known as collaborative combat aircraft. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall spoke about the program Tuesday during a hearing before a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee.
The technology is moving forward really well. We're encouraged by that.
The initial Air Force drones will primarily be used to counter other aircraft and will eventually develop other capabilities. So how does drone technology get tested?
I'm going to get a ride in an autonomously flown F-16 later this year. There will be a pilot with me who will just be watching as I will be as the autonomous technology works. And hopefully neither he or I will be need to fly the airplane.
Drone warfare has become increasingly common, especially during the war in Ukraine and in the Middle East. And Kendall says the U.S.'s program is on track to keep up, especially with China.
I'm very encouraged by where the CCAs are.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies across the area today, high temperature readings will stay up in the lower 60s. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will dip back down to the lower 40s. And then the outlook for Friday, does call for some sunshine, along with a late day shower storm chance with high temperature readings from around 70 to 75. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
All right, we got coffee cups, we got pink hoodies, we've got trucker hats. Hey, it's what you got to do. You want to market your beef, you want to market your bull sale, you want to market your business, that's what you got to do. You got to get the word out, right? Oh, man, I think we had a little too much fun on Wednesday's Montana Talks. We'll get serious for Thursday, don't worry. We've got the Attorney General dropping by. We've got Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Action. Plus, I think we'll have some pretty good amount of open phones time as well. Wednesday's Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, there's some stuff that I didn't get to yesterday, so let me sneak that in here at the top of the show here in the 6 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. This was a funny story that I didn't get to yesterday for some reason. Supreme Court, this is the Montana Supreme Court here. This is from the Helena IR. Supreme Court withdraws ruling against the legislature, but maintains attorney's fees against the state of Montana. So the Supreme Court's like, yeah, we screwed up on this decision. Yeah, we messed up. And that's a big deal for them to admit that they mess up, because they done mess up all the time, right? They get a bad decision all the time out of the Montana Supreme Court and the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court. I'd love to hear David Noble's take on this one. But now they're actually admitting it. They're like, yeah, we screwed up. We're gonna change this ruling that we put out. But they still want to get paid. They screwed up the job. They still want to get paid for the job. What? I mean, they still want to charge you, the people of Montana, the taxpayers, for attorney's fees. Yeah, we screwed up. We were wrong to make this judgment the way we did against the Montana legislature, the Republican supermajority legislature. But you know what? We're still going to charge you attorney's fees. My goodness, these people are arrogant. That was funny. Could have spent more time on that one yesterday. Another thing that I wanted to share with you yesterday, but, you know, we got that great message from Evan and Belt, which really set the stage for the rest of this show with great phone calls, messages, and more. Montana Senator Steve Daines, he was on Fox News. I don't know if you guys heard this, but flip-flop flat top, John Tester, of course, is flip-flopping on the Mayorkas impeachment. Flip-flopping on that front, you know. Now he's saying, well, I'll read the material. Before he was saying, oh, come on, we're just going to dismiss this right out of hand. Now he's saying, well, I'll read the material. Old flip-flop flat top is at it again. But what is with the latest delay in the Mayorkas impeachment trial in the Senate? Here's what Senator Steve Daines had to say with Neil Cavuto.
Well, I'm not surprised, first of all, that Chuck Schumer was hoping those articles would come to the Senate this week on a Thursday afternoon so they could get buried for the weekend. The Democrats don't want to talk about this. Look, the House has spoken. It was a year-long process of hearings, a lot of investigation. They voted to push two articles of impeachment over to the United States Senate. We have a constitutional responsibility. We are accountable to the American people to have a trial. We now sit as jurors. Mayorkas has been impeached. The question is, should he be removed from office or not? That is what the will of the Senate will determine. So we need to have full accountability, take it into full daylight here in front of the American people. It's the number one issue, Neil, for voters across the country. It's not just a Republican issue. It's Republicans, independents, and Democrats are seeing this invasion of the southern border, this illegal migrants coming across. And this is not an immigration debate. This is a national security debate as we're looking at the terror threat right now to this country because of Joe Biden's chaos and open border policies.
Well, you're quite right to say the immigration issue is the overarching issue. It was in caucuses and primaries one after the other, but I don't believe this specific issue of impeaching Mayorkas was. Having said that, I do want to get your thoughts on delaying this delivery of these Mayorkas articles until next week. Are you for that? Are you okay with that?
You know, I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, whether it gets shipped over to us on Wednesday for the beginning of the impeachment on Thursday, literally we'll be sat down in the Senate chamber, we'll be sworn in, we'll sign a book as jurors, we sit as a jury for these articles of impeachment sent to us by the House. I think it's a good thing it's going to come over on Monday. That way we have the week in front of the American people to have this deliberation. It'll be a very important vote because Schumer wants to bury this. He doesn't want to talk about this anymore. The American people want accountability. They're exasperated. We see what's going on. This is a solvable problem, but Mayorkas should be held accountable for what's happened. The Senate will be the jurors next week. It'll be in front of the American people, as it should be.
All right, yeah, so Senator Steve Daines, they're calling for a full impeachment hearing on Secretary Mayorkas. There you go. On with Neil Cavuto. Full video, foxnews.com/video. Thanks to our producer, Travis, for snagging that one for us here. Back to this Montana Supreme Court ruling. Yeah, we screwed up, but we still want to get paid after we screwed up the job. At least they're willing to admit that they screwed something up, because they've screwed a lot of things up. They've screwed up a lot of cases, put out a lot of bad rulings, but they just keep doubling down. But this time they said, yeah, we screwed up, but we're still going to charge you for the job that we screwed up here. I was reading that Helena IR piece, and I was like, how come there's no quote here from Senate President Jason Ellsworth? Why don't they want to share? Okay. They had one of the quotes here. Okay. Oh, they do. Okay, good. It's at the end of the article, but that's all right. They've got him here, because this is the press release statement we got from Senate President Jason Ellsworth. He says, "I'm glad to see the Supreme Court realize that they messed up by intruding into the legislature's internal rules and are withdrawing their original decision. We in the legislature eagerly await the court's new opinion to ensure that it does not also unconstitutionally violate the separation of powers between our branches of government. At the same time, I'm extremely disappointed to see that the court is trying to have it both ways, maintaining that they're still going to award taxpayer money to their liberal lawyer allies, even after they remove most of their, quote, evidence that such a handout is warranted. It's a shame that the court continues to give liberal plaintiffs preferential treatment compared to conservatives who filed similar lawsuits in the past." Well, golly, you mean to tell me that these liberal justices are taking your taxpayer dollars and giving it to these liberal lawyers who then turn around and fund their campaigns with your taxpayer dollars? When did Fannie Willis start running the Montana Supreme Court? And when are they going to Belize?
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, managing livestock grazing on federal lands during a foot and mouth disease outbreak will certainly pose some unique challenges for ranchers and animal health officials. And that's why the American Sheep Industry Association received USDA National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program funding to work with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and other stakeholders to help develop movement decision criteria guidance that addresses the unique scenarios that would arise for federal lands grazers. ASI President Brad Boner out of Wyoming says, with about half of the U.S. ewe inventory that seasonally graze on permitted federal grazing lands, this project provides needed information for ranchers and decision makers.
As you know, if that unfortunate event ever happens, there will be a stop movement ordered by USDA nationwide for 3 days or until they figure out where the disease resides and set up these control areas. And so, you know, as we think about how we come on and off public lands and how important that is to most of our producers, if timing were to hit where that impacted how we came on or went off of those allotments, we need to have a plan in place, you know, so that there's contingencies as far as feed and where those animals, you know, in the fall, sometimes those animals got to go somewhere else. So we need to have a contingency in place in that instance as well.
Now, resources are now available on the Secure Sheep and Wool Supply and Secure Beef Supply websites under the public land grazing pages. You can learn more by visiting us online at westernegnetwork.com or by checking out our Facebook page. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
At AgWest, we know agriculture isn't just a business. It's a way of life. So we're here to help operations succeed for generations to come by supporting our customer members and the rural communities where we live and work. From small family businesses to large operations, AgWest brings the experience and financial know-how to help you grow your best future. Find out how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
The American Land Board would like to invite those involved with the U.S. sheep industry to some upcoming educational workshops and conferences. Included are three targeted grazing workshops scheduled for Temple, Texas and Roxboro, North Carolina in May, and another this summer in Fresno, California. And Lamb Summit 2024 is July 24th through the 26th on the campus of the University of Idaho in Moscow, addressing critical strategies to help improve the industry's competitiveness and profitability. For more information and to get registered, visit lambboard.com. Well, North Dakota Senator John Hoeven has introduced the Farmer Act, legislation to strengthen crop insurance and make higher levels of coverage more affordable for producers. Co-sponsors from our region include Nebraska's Deb Fisher and Kansas's Roger Marshall. Among other things, the legislation would increase premium support and improve the supplemental coverage option. And finally this morning, the BLM is holding 11 in-person open house meetings throughout the West to help provide information on its current greater sage-grouse planting effort. And the first of these meetings is scheduled for tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. in Billings, Montana. Keep in mind, the public comment period ends on June 13th. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Producer profitability. We just heard the Farm and Ranch report there from our friend Russell Nimitz with the Western Ag Report. Travis, didn't you attend one of those producer profitability seminars? I think you actually went to it and wrote about it, if I remember right, did a nice write-up about producer profitability. Producer profitability. We talked with Brian Massard from Reminisce Angus about that yesterday, and yep, Travis did. He wrote about it. He attended the actual presentation. That's all the stock growers have pretty much, I mean, not all, but that's the big topic the stock growers have been covering over the past several months, going all the way back to the stock growers convention in Billings this past December, right? Producer profitability. You know, you look at the high input costs right now, the attacks on agriculture coming from the Joe Biden, John Tester folks in Washington, and the high energy prices, high input costs. It's like, man, every dollar counts. Producer profitability. So yesterday we got that note from Evan in Belt. Man, I see Chuck Schumer and John Tester. They're attacking Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy. And, of course, his fellow Navy SEAL teammate, because, see, that's what this guy does. He takes care of his team, and his team takes care of him. It's what veterans do. They look out for each other. They take care of each other here. They'll take a bullet for each other like Tim Sheehy actually did. Another reminder for you. But so they actually, they're the two guys that own and run the, you know, this ranch, the Little Belt Cattle Company. And it was their beef that everybody ate at the Montana Stock Growers Convention. They're partnering with the great Montana rancher Turk Stovall, known the Stovall family for years as well. And they're literally partnering with Turk Stovall on these producer profitability discussions. They're leading the discussions. They're part of this feedlot in Shepherd, Montana. And you want to talk about field to fork, that's what they're doing. But anyway, Chuck Schumer and John Tester are attacking Little Belt Cattle Company for selling hoodies and coffee cups and trucker hats. Well, this is kind of funny because I found out who the guy is in this Chuck Schumer campaign commercial. And there's a couple of funny things here. One is there is a laundry list of federal campaign contributions to Act Blue, to the most wacko leftist website of campaign fundraising websites. So this guy is a noted far left Democrat. And it really gets funny. Guess where at least two or three of his campaign contributions went to? This guy gave money to Bullock for president. Ah! I hope you didn't spill your coffee in your lap on that one while you're on your way to that cafe in Harlow right now to meet up with the boys a little later here this morning. But it really gets rich. It gets rich. Guess what? The guy attacking Tim Sheehy for, you know, using coffee cups to promote his ranch and his beef. Guess what we found online? A photo of his ranch name on coffee cups. I know. Bunch of damn hypocrites.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden meets with Japan's Prime Minister Kishida Fumio and Philippines President Fernando Marcos Jr. today at the White House. Prime Minister Fumio addresses Congress this morning. He was hosted at a state dinner by the President and First Lady last night.
Join me in raising your glasses to our alliance, to our friendship.
Today's summit is meant to project unity against threats from China. There's storm damage from Texas to Florida and more rough weather in the forecast today.
After a destructive day of flooding, hurricane-force winds and tornadoes over the Gulf Coast states, expect to see the risk of large hail, very strong winds, heavy rain, and isolated tornadoes for the Southeast, the Ohio Valley, and the Mid-Atlantic. The Northeast will be impacted Friday and Saturday with more flooding concerns, high winds, and severe weather.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. Weather's delayed the start of the Masters Golf Tournament in Augusta, Georgia until 10:30 a.m. America's listening to Fox News.
You heard me right. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, I sent a couple of screenshots. One, the guy attacking a rancher for using coffee cups and T-shirts and hoodies and trucker hats and more to promote their ranch and to promote their beef. And by the way, Little Bell Cattle Company has a really cool Instagram page as well. You can go see Greg Putnam's epic Navy mustache there while you're at it. But the guy attacking them for promoting their ranch by selling merchandise has coffee cups with their own ranch name on it. I had a good conversation offline with the guy's daughter yesterday, and I said, what about the fact that, you know, here's what Tim Sheehy and Greg Putnam and the Little Bell Cattle Company are doing. They're partnering with Turk Stovall and the Montana Stock Growers. They're leading these producer profitability sessions. She's like, oh, I think that's great. I was like, yeah, I concur. I said, tell your dad, you know, if he wants to respond to what any of our folks have to say, he's welcome to, you know, here's my contact info. He's welcome to join us. But I mean, just this guy, what a dirtbag move, the way he's attacking these veterans, you know, to suggest that somehow you're not a real rancher because you served your country in the military. And then when you came home from war, you got into agriculture and you started a ranch. I mean, what a slap in the face to veterans. What a slap in the face. What a blue falcon move, right? And then what a slap in the face to all these other farmers and ranchers that are out there, as Tim and Savage pointed out 24 hours ago. What a slap in the face to them that are promoting their field to fork products by selling merchandise and things like that as well. Get this. So Greg Putnam from Little Bell Cattle Company, he's going to join us later in the morning. But let me just give you a quick idea how important merchandise is from a producer profitability standpoint. Think about this. Little Bell Cattle Company in Martinsdale, Montana, and there's so many great ranchers in that Martinsdale 2-dot area. Guess how much money they make? I should almost do that. You know what? Let me not just tell you this. Somebody message me on our Montana Talks app right here during the upcoming break. Message us on the Montana Talks app, and we'll try to be quick about reading these real fast here. How much money do you think the Little Belt Cattle Company makes just by selling merchandise? What would you guess? I know we got a lot of farmer rancher folks that are listening. We got a lot of business folks that are listening right now. How much money do you think they're making by selling pink hooded sweatshirts that you can rock at Tough Enough to Wear Pink Night at the rodeo, for example, right? Trucker hats, coffee cups. How much money do you think their ranch is making? And isn't this important for you other ranchers that are listening, or you other farmers that are listening?
that are thinking, man, how are we going to be able to afford to stay in the business? How are we going to be able to hand this operation off to the kids if we don't stay profitable? Well, yeah, profitability. Merchandise helps is just one other part of that, right? All right, send me your messages. I want to know how much you think they make off of merchandise. I'll tell you the answer after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Have you ever had a windfall, an inheritance from a relative you hardly knew, an unexpectedly high tax refund, or maybe, no, almost certainly, a stimulus check coming in for the government? The only thing that dampens the joy of extra cash is the certainty that it will not continue. Yet many of us have trouble bringing our spending back down when that reality arrives. So it may be for some crucial pieces of the economy in the coming months as the sugar high of stimulus spending fades and reality returns. Banks have enjoyed high deposits from households and businesses stashing away their extra cash. State governments had a surge in revenues and record budget surpluses. And stock markets kept going up in the low interest rate environment where that was the only place to earn a return. A return to normality will be a big change, but it's rapidly upon us. Montana's revenues are flat, stock markets are choppy, and extra cash is disappearing fast from bank vaults everywhere. Reality is arriving. I'm Patrick Brady.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Robert in Lewistown. Tester's just mad because nobody wants a sweatshirt from his outfit. Yeah, I agree with you there, Robert. Let's see. Let me double check. Usually Travis will print up the messages on our Montana Talks app for me and bring them in here. Let me see if we got any guesses as to. So I threw out the question before the break. How much in merchandise do you think they sell at the Little Belt Cattle Company in Martinsdale, Montana? Just to underscore how important this is from a producer profitability standpoint here. Let's see. Okay, we didn't get any more guesses on the app. Some of you, though, will listen a little later in the day. But so Travis says, here's my guess. Because remember, Travis, you know, his family has a ranch in Forsyth. So he grew up helping out on the family ranch in Forsyth. But I would say less than $500. The stuff is more likely given away. All right, Travis, you stand by for this. You can even write about this later today if you want to. This is, I spoke with Greg Putnam yesterday. He's the Navy SEAL who was a teammate on the SEAL teams with Tim Sheehy, and then now they're teammates on the Little Belt Cattle Company Ranch. $100,000 in 1 year is what they made on merchandise. Put that in your, I heard Travis in the other room. Whoa. Put that in your producer profitability hat here. Anyway, hey, we got some great guests that just popped into our studios here. And I wish we could have got them later on in the morning when our friends from the Flathead are joining us on KJJR starting in the 8 o'clock hour. But we got Rob Nadelson filling up our whole 8 o'clock hour this morning. Then we got a bunch of guests in the 9 o'clock hour. But great to have Representative Tanner Smith out of the Summers Lakeside area, and then Jim Riley in the house as well. First off, Tanner, great to see you.
Thanks for fitting us in. We appreciate this. Thank you.
Well, I'm trying to pack a lot in because later tonight I head to Las Vegas. I'm not rubbing it in here, but yeah. UFC 300. I get to be in the house for UFC 300.
That'll be fun. Yeah.
But it was so fun. I think one of the first times I met you was at Cowboy Christmas in Las Vegas during the National Finals Rodeo, and that was a great time.
Yeah, that would have been probably 2017-18, because we go down for NFR every year to support our local boys. Bridger Chambers, I grew up with his dad was actually my coach, so we always go to NFR. But yeah, I did pull an all-nighter there to be there on the air with you in that morning. It was a good time.
That's right. And then Jim Riley, it's been fun getting to know you as well, because you're really taking on, and we'll talk more with you here in a few minutes after we chat with Tanner about the governor's race, but you're really, you know, getting into the conservative fight on all fronts, but especially school board elections in the Flathead, which are so important in the Billings area, the Bozeman area, all across the state more than ever.
We need more involvement in school boards. Yeah, absolutely. It's been my passion the last 3 years. I've been sitting on the board, and that's actually where I met Tanner Smith.
Yeah, nice. So, Tanner, I know you want to get the opportunity to tell listeners why you're running as a Republican for governor and challenging incumbent Governor Greg Gianforte in the primary. First, though, I got to get your take on Ryan Bussey and Raff, whatever.
Yeah, Raff Grable.
Michelangelo, Donatello, whatever, yeah. Graybill, yeah. The lockdown lawyer and the gun-grabbing governor candidate. Yeah. Is that not the weirdest political ticket in the entire country?
Well, that is probably by far the worst ticket. The Democrats don't have a very deep bench. So they have to go back to Bullock's chief legal advisor, which gave us the mask mandates, shutting down all the businesses, but keeping Target open and Walmart open. That's the best they can put up. So I look forward to fighting them, campaigning against them, because that's a win-win on every front.
If Bussey makes it through the primary, I mean, you never know. I mean, I know that the Democrat Party establishment is backing the pro-gun control candidate, the lockdown lawyer candidate. But you never know what can happen. So. Yeah.
Well, he's from the Flathead. His son goes to school with my oldest daughter.
Well, he's from some other state, but he lives in the Flathead. Yeah. Yeah. His kids are a little grouchy on Twitter. They like to throw out the F-bombs.
It's terrible. And what's bad is I own Kimber firearms, I'm a Second Amendment guy like the rest of us being Montana. I feel bad for Kimber because Kimber makes a good product.
Yeah, that's right.
This might help them. With sales.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And so who would have thought that you'd be running a candidate ticket in Montana with a gun grabber and a guy who shut down churches but kept abortion mills up and running? Yeah. I mean, give me a break.
It's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's laughable, I think. It's not realistic. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a seat in the State House of Representatives in the legislature. Yeah. Unfortunately, people can't run for two offices, so you've got to give up that seat in order to run. Yep. For governor.
Yep.
Taking on an incumbent governor can be a big challenge, of course.
Well, it is, but it isn't. Our sitting governor, Mr. Gianforte, he's kind of making a lot of unforced errors. And I actually announced I was going to run for governor during this last session. When I saw first time, real time, the bad property tax policies that were coming out, how we wasn't dealing with illegal aliens, the water compact in the Flathead, there's a lot of things that... I'm here to give the Montana voters a true conservative choice, more along the lines of Matt Rosendale, Al Olszewski. That is what I'm offering,
So you think he's been too moderate then?
Way too moderate.
Not conservative enough, not a hardliner enough in his first term as governor.
Yeah, and that's it. And being born and raised in Stevensville and spending my entire life in Montana, I see it, plain as day. He's not leading a comeback. He's managing a slow decline is what I like to say. Because we're losing the Montana that I grew up in. There's a lot of things with the illegal aliens. I would have got them out of the state, 3 years ago when the guy was raped in Missoula. We need to double down on conservatism. If we don't have borders, language, and culture, we don't have a state.
How would you have gotten rid of them? Because that's the question we all want to know is like, okay, because oftentimes we don't even know who's where and where they are because, of course, Joe Biden and John Tester are secretly transporting these illegals all over the country. And oftentimes we don't really know who the illegals are until they get arrested for crimes that they've been committing. Yeah. That's why they're filling up the jail in Gallatin County and elsewhere, right? Yeah.
Well, there's a twofold solution for getting rid of the illegals. I would use our National Guard in plain clothes. Okay, we don't need to be militaristic and have tanks driving down, Central Avenue and Billings, but we can use our National Guard in plain clothes to round these folks up. We can also empower our law enforcement men and women. Okay, there's more to empowering law enforcement than just funding them. We need to have good policies to let them do their jobs without fear of losing their career. And we do that with the governor's pardon. The executive branch, I have the power to pardon these officers, so go ahead, do your job, whatever you felt was best for the public safety of your neighbors and your family. If the ACLU sues you for something, I will give you a governor's pardon. Do your job. Back the blue is more than just funding the blue. But those are policies we could do and turn this around in 1 week.
It's crazy. Absentee ballots come out in what, a month?
May 10th. May 10th. They're mailed out.
Less than a month.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So that's when the election day really starts, is less than one month from now. That's interesting.
Yeah, the mailed out May 10th. They'll start arriving in mailboxes, the 15th, give or take. That's kind of our target date, is to get our message out, let people know there is a better option, an alternate option, a conservative option, before they have those absentee ballots.
Summers in Lakeside is just some of my favorite places. I mean, my grandpa, they had a place right there between
Summers and Lakeside. So I remember going to Lakeside, which is no dump, of course, but we would do trash hauls to the dump in my grandpa's old pickup. And it was just some of my best memories, right there on the shores of Flathead Lake.
But we're actually dredging Mission View Terrace, where your folks live. That bay, we're dredging that whole bay, and that's because of partly because of the water compact, because Flathead Lake was so low last year. Thankfully, our county commissioners gave us some permits to start taking the ground level down in the bay there at Mission View, because there was 8-9 slips that couldn't even be used because there was no water in them.
Talk about the transient invasion in Kalispell. The Republican county commissioners were right to question this stuff, right? I mean, the Democrats want to turn Kalispell into another Missoula where you can't use city parks and there's drug needles on the riverbank.
Yeah, and we're living it. I had House Bill 959 that I tried to get passed this last session, and that's another disappointment I had with Greg was there's policies that we could have in place. 959 would have been panhandling, solicitation, transients, vagrants, just to give our county commissioners a law on the books where we could kick them out. You know, I was the original bus ticket guy on the House floor. We were debating House Bill 5 about building more homeless shelters. And I obviously, if you build it, they will come. And I said, you know, we could buy a lot of bus tickets because we had the Albertson 8, we called them. A
lot cheaper.
Well, they were guys.
You could even charter a bus for cheaper than for all these out-of-state transients.
But we had the Albertson 8. There were guys about my size at Albertson Grocery that were from Spokane, Seattle, wherever. But they have no business being in the state. You know, if they would panhandle, get drunk.
People, intimidate people.
Yeah, just get them out.
Feces on doorsteps, I read the other day.
Yeah.
Insane.
But I've got some, you know, with the homeless shelter problems, we're going to, those people are trying, the people are nice and they're trying to serve a purpose. And there is a reason for homeless shelters, for battered women. But we need to double down and have conservative principles. If you're going to have a homeless shelter, you need a drug and piss test your residents. Okay. If they pop positive, then you will lose your 501c3 status. You know, that's how we start trimming this back and putting some curbs and sideboards up for these folks. The fentanyl needle exchanges, that's gone. I'll do that via executive action on week one. Because my wife deals, she's a nurse, she deals with a needle shortage for diabetic people that need it because the fentanyl, you know, drug exchanges, and that's happening in every county. So there's policy things we can do to fix this.
Your running mate is Public Service Commissioner Randy Pinocchio out of the Great Falls area, but it's been fun. Your sidekick is Jim Riley with you here today. Got to see both of you guys at Schmeckfest in Lustre, which was just an incredible time. Stand by. We'll come back to you, and Jim, we'll talk school boards this as well. So great to see you here live in studio here in the early morning hours of Montana Talks.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And then you look at the other crimes that they're committed, and they just let this go on and on and on. That's why they have blood on their hands. And if I end up being right, and terror cells are forming in this country, and they plot, plan, and scheme a 9/11, an October 7th, or worse, and it happens, and a lot of dead Americans is the result of all of this, they have the blood on their hands. Just like all of the people that have been murdered, all the homicide victims, all of the crime victims, you can blame the Democratic Radical Party and Joe Biden for allowing and aiding and abetting in this. This is a prescription for an unmitigated disaster. You want to talk about a threat to democracy? This is your biggest threat to democracy.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can swim, she can do more.
I build a rocket and watch it soar.
We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place. Oh,
she can swim, so can you.
Find a cure, invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of a delay on our app compared to those of you listening live over the radio right now. So like Tim and Savage, he's on a little bit of a delay out there in Mondakistan. But he sent us a message. I didn't see it before we came back out on the air. So I asked the question, how much do you think Little Belt Cattle Company makes by selling merchandise for their ranch? Tim and Savage messaged us, but I got it a little late. Less than $1,000 a year. And then after I gave the answer, he's like, I cannot imagine the swag brings in that much. Sean and Shelby messaged us, I'd say less than $1,000 total. Fly Rod and Bozeman, that's the nickname there, $10,000? Yeah, $100,000 on merchandise. Producer profitability. There you go. To put it in a ranch report perspective. Hey, Jim Riley, great to see you here again. You're not the running mate with Tanner here for governor and lieutenant governor, but you've been sidekicking across the state. I know you've really been focusing in on local issues in the Flathead, and I think that's been inspirational to our friends here in the Billings area and in Bozeman as well. About taking back the school boards. We've got to do it.
Yeah, it's been my message the last 3 years since I got on. And John Fuller is the one that actually got me involved with school boards, which is where I met Tanner Smith.
Great guy, John Fuller, yeah.
Absolutely. I helped run his campaign, and I got sucked into the political arena, right, doing that. But for me, the school board was so important because I've got an 8-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl. And just looking at the education system and what it's lacking, right? And I think Tanner and I both got them because of the mask mandates. There was no way that was going to happen to our kids. And then once you get into that system, Aaron, it's unbelievable what you see on the other side and what's being pushed down to those schools. You know, and then you start looking at the parents and the families in the community and you're going, come on, people, please come to a school board meeting. Let's hear your input. Show them what you care about with your kids. And, you know, we had an influx of parents come during COVID, but they're gone again.
Well, that's the problem is that everybody stood up because with the mask mandate, you saw what they were doing to your kids. Now, it's not as apparent what they're doing to your kids.
That's
unless
right.
you, like, we've got some, you know, good school board members, Billings, Laurel area, Flathead and elsewhere, that because they're now on the inside path on the school board, they see what they're doing. And they're the watchdogs, they're the bird dogs, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. A lot of people are like, oh, well, no more mask mandates. I get to watch sports, so who cares?
Well, and if I had any message today, it's do not let up on these school boards as parents, as community members. Because my school board in particular, Smith Valley, we had 2 open seats. I'm going to term out in May, which is when the elections are. Because I'm busy with Tanner and I'm focused on his election and we've got all this momentum across the state, I can't run for school board again. And my kids aren't in that school anymore. I homeschool them now. I can't get a parent to run for those school board seats. There's 2 seats. They're open, right? So they're going to slide somebody in. Same thing with District 5. It's our biggest district there. They were calling me, asking me to run. I'm not even associated with that school outside of taxes. You know, it's like, where are the parents at? How come they're not involved? So don't give up. Don't slow down. And when you look at the organizations that push their agendas on the schools like MTSBA, and, you know, they're a legal arm that helps advise us. You know, these schools are so quick to listen to everything that they're pushing from curriculum or, you know, new ways of doing things. And they just adopt that. It doesn't have to be adopted. And it's smart, conservative parents that will push back on that.
Yeah, that's right. Less than a minute to go here before we run out of time. But great to see both of you guys. Of course, we'll see you again down the road. But Tanner Smith, what do you want to tell folks before we run out of time?
Just remember to go to TannerForMontana.com. We've got the website up, the videos, all that kind of stuff. There's little snippets if you just want to learn more, a little more about me. You know, I was a 3rd generation of Montanan, born and raised in Stevensville. Been in Lakeside for the last 30 years. I'm not a politician. So go to TannerForMontana.com. You know, look at the videos, watch the videos. And once you see those, you'll be like, hey, this guy's saying what I've been saying.
Vote June primary. That's what I want to say.
Primary.
It's crazy. Less than a month away. Yeah. Absentee ballots come out.
June 4th
right.
primary.
Well, great to see both of you. And I know the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan is next week.
Next
so you
week.
Guys will
we'll
be back around around next week as well.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Good to
Absolutely.
See you. Thanks
Thank
for dropping
you.
In.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. We got a great 7 o'clock hour coming up for you as well here. Stand by after this national news update, Fox News update.